It's time once again for Dialogue Conspiracy with May Brussel. For the past 14 years, May has been researching and uncovering facts and evidence from between the lines of the news and placing them in a more thorough perspective of how conspiracy, political assassination, and abuses of power affect us all. Dialogue Conspiracy originates with KLRB-FM in Carmel, California. And now, May Brussel.
Good evening. This is May Brussel. It's Dialogue Conspiracy number 319, and it's April the 30th, 1978. We're soon coming. Next Dialogue Conspiracy will be in the month of May, and that will mark 7 years on KLRB doing this program almost every week. The Zodiac Killer has surfaced in the San Francisco newspapers. He manages to come around every few years at election time to stir up the law and order forces. I have mentioned him on previous shows back several years ago about the Zodiac Killer and the links to the International White Guard. I'll go into that further in the allegations that he is the son of a well-known entertainer. I've talked to David Tocci, the San Francisco policeman in charge of the investigation. He knows this person by name, does nothing to look into the background of these charges because his father is so prominent. And this type of terrorism is used to get more police on the streets, to get further and faster into a police state. It's an agent provocateur action, which again surfaces. We have running for attorney general this state, Mr. Browning, D.A. Browning, who is, he prosecuted Patty Hearst. He wants to be the attorney general of this state, part of that counterintelligence operation. And, of course, we have Evel Younger and Ed Davis, both running for governor, who are linked to the counterintelligence operations of criminal conspiracy section, Los Angeles Police Department, and to the national network of counterintelligence and terrorism. And the Zodiac falls into that category. We'll do more about that on later shows. Mr. Jim Horowitz, a researcher in Los Angeles, a newspaper man who gets out a newsletter, just sent a newsletter this week with some interesting topics in it. And one was a White House memo that came out a long time ago that said, in quotes, "We have to destroy the United Farm Workers Union." This was in 1970 that this memo came out, that it's necessary to destroy the United Farm Workers Union. "We must try to discredit them in order to help the rival Teamsters Union." This is Richard Nixon. In May of 1971, Charles Colson asked the Justice Department, the Labor Department, the National Labor Relations Board to work against Cesar Chavez. He said, the memo, in quotes, said, "Inform the federal agencies that President Nixon has taken a personal interest in the United Farm Workers. Only if you can find some way to work against Chavez's union should you take action." Those of you that have the tape or heard Dialogue Conspiracy, number 315, that was April the 2nd, 1978, the one about our income taxes. You remember that I mentioned that I didn't want to pay my taxes to the Treasury that year because they had teams that were going to plan to kill Cesar Chavez and take over the Farm Workers Union, particularly because the assassination teams coming from Richard Nixon and Charles Colson and the Treasury Department. Well, there were plans were made to kill Cesar Chavez in 1971, and then Larry Shears, the agent provocateur who was part of breaking that story, surfaced in 1972. And then it's interesting that there was a follow-up memo in 1972 of Richard Nixon and Charles Colson, which said, in quotes, "We will be criticized if this thing gets out of hand and if there is violence, but we must stick to our position and get help for the Teamsters Union." That memo in 1972 said it wasn't get him at any cost, find some way to take him out of action. This new memo said we will be criticized if there is violence, and they certainly would be with Larry Shears surfacing and saying there were plans to kill Cesar Chavez. Therefore, they brought in the Teamsters Union and broke down the United Farm Workers and literally silenced Chavez. He's fairly quiet and doesn't take too much activity now that Teamsters have really taken over the United Farm Workers were. So the point is that the memos that I knew about in 1971, 72 are now being repeated as far as the labor organizations goes and the role of Charles Colson and Richard Nixon to stop Cesar Chavez. Last week, I talked about keeping the government out of medicine and keeping the institutions that are private, so-called private institutions like the Rockefeller Foundation, the Hughes Medical Institute, and I listed quite a few, 12 or 13 institutions that should be kept out of the medical business that are linked to genocide. And this week on Dialogue Conspiracy, I want to mention again the institution called the Arley Foundation, and then I want to read you some of the King Alfred Plan, because I'm afraid the Arley Foundation could be a conduit of what is the King Alfred Plan. I define the King Alfred Plan as a plan by the National Security Agency to eliminate all blacks in the United States of America, and I ask you to listen to what is written on documents that were allegedly taken from the National Security Agency and see if you think they can happen in the United States. In the meantime, as I mentioned before, there are articles from February and March in Washington Post on the Arley Foundation. They describe themselves as a foundation for teaching and training, training films, teaching population control to disseminate abroad and at home. They pushed for money. Mr. Passman linked to the Korean CIA and Reverend Moon and Nazi money that has been being tied up to Moon and Passman and the Korean CIA goes back to the head of the Arley Foundation, also identified in the as CIA, Dr. Murdoch, head from George Washington University. Now, Passman asked for money for the population work by Arley House. They got a $5 million grant that I mentioned before, and they said it has to be used, in quotes, for secret reasons outside of official channels. The proposal for the International Center for Population Dynamics is in Washington, D.C., and by February 1973, they had accumulated $15 million for their population budget. Without many of the directors' knowledge, they pushed some of this money to the Bahamas, which is now linked in the Bahamas. Dr. Jose Delgado, the man who was working on the electrode implants for Navy intelligence and for the United States government, also had hospitals and funding in the Bahamas that were trying to make some of the connections to identify these locations. But this large bulk of money, so far admitted of $15 million, goes into a population control bureau, which reminds me to bring up just at this time, because of the movie Holocaust on NBC, the possibility of the genocide program. When the book came out, The Man Who Cried I Am, in 1967, it's by John Williams. A lot of people, book reviewers, he thought at that time that it was possible that this book was true. I'm sorry, it was 1969. There's one book review that was in the Washington Post, and it says this about the King Alfred Plan and the book, The Man Who Cried I Am. These are quotes from a book review of that book. Hitler had a final solution for the Jews, and 6 million of them were murdered. America's final solution for the black man is the premise about which this book is written. You look at men who've been running the world for the last quarter of a century, and you find the book is not a novel, but a statement of cold, hard fact, eminently plausible, but more than likely true. The plot of the final solution is a horrible one, dreamed up and nurtured by men in Washington, eagerly followed by power holders in Europe, so that the century-long fiesta of extorting from people, grinding down humanity for profit, can keep on going in a business-as-usual world. We lie, we cheat, we murder, we overthrow governments, not to our liking. And with this kind of action going on abroad, what the hell are a few million spades or two at home? A murderer is one who murders. A murderer does not kill innocent people in some other land and then undergo a miraculous transformation at home, coming home to apple pie or mother. This is a book review saying there are murderers sitting high in seats of government. They are bland, napalm-making baby killers sitting around the councils of the tables of our largest corporations. They are the worst killers of all. They kill not in anger, not even for revenge. Their murders are wholesale and coldly planned, carried out for profit, and they will kill anyone and anything that gets in the way. The two irreconcilable enemies are described in this book by Mr. John Williams as the blacks and whites, a tune of hate and prejudice orchestrated for profit, depending upon hate and prejudice. Each side is the unwitting patsy for the struggle of our time. Malcolm X was one of those who knew this about the King Alfred plan, and he was murdered. And Uncle Tom agents for the CIA or FBI, they all smell the same, are knitted together by their white cohorts until the final solution becomes evident to them. Now, this is the King Alfred plan, the sheet that is reprinted in the book, The Man Who Cried I Am, but I have a copy of it that was not photocopied from the book that came from a person who has been doing a lot of investigative work and said it came and did come from the National Security Council. King Alfred, in the event of a widespread and continuing coordinated racial disturbance in the United States, the King Alfred will be directed by the President of the United States to be put into action immediately. And remember Jimmy Carter's racial purity statements as a front and a possibility. This goes on. The agencies that will participate are the National Security Council, the Central Intelligence Agency, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Department of Justice, the Department of Defense, and the Department of Interior. The participating agencies will be the National Guard and the State Police. The participating local agencies will be the City Police and the County Police. The memo from the National Security Council says even before 1954, when the Supreme Court of America declared it to be unconstitutional to separate educational and recreational facilities, there was racial unrest and discord that became a part of the American way of life. That way of life was repugnant to most Americans. Since 1954, however, that unrest and discord have broken into widespread violence. The peace and stability of the nation are in dire jeopardy. The violence resulted in loss of life, limb, and property. It is costing the taxpayers billions of dollars, and the end is not in sight. This violence has raised tremendously grave questions as to whether the races can live in peace with each other. Each passing month brings new intelligence that, in spite of new laws passed to alleviate the condition, the minority is still not satisfied. Demonstrations and rioting are part of the familiar scene. Troops have been called out in every city. Our image as the world leader is severely damaged. Our enemies press closer, possibly at a time during one of these outbreaks. The minority, meaning the blacks, have adopted an almost military posture to gain their objectives, which is not clear to most Americans. Therefore, when their objectives are denied, the minority, racial war must be considered inevitable. And when the emergency comes, we have to have total involvement of all 22 million members of the minority, men, women, women and children, for this project, and it will be launched. And its goal is to terminate once and for all the minority threat to the whole of American society and the free world, typed out chairman of the National Security Council. The end, typed by the Secretary of Defense, says that the survey shows that during a six-year period, the production, as being birth rate, created 9 million objects. Those are black children, or 1,500,000 each year. Production could not dispose of the containers. The parents, in other words, do not get rid of the children. Therefore, we have a bottleneck. However, that was almost 20 years ago. We suggest the vaporization technique be employed to overcome the production problems inherent in King Alfred. Now, one of the things that the King Alfred plan said when it came out in 1969 was that these people were an embarrassment to foreign policy. If you remember the memos of the FBI against Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, it was that they are embarrassing us overseas by exposing American racism. If you think that from 10 to 40% of all blacks up to age 25 are unemployed, or a newspaper account this week that after 10 years of housing and consideration of minority housing, it is difficult for blacks to get homes or apartments. The statistics were in the paper this week. So that there's no provision for housing for blacks. There's no provision for jobs. And there is a lot of provision to turn them into dope addicts and drug addicts and get police on the streets. So that it makes a situation ripe for violence where you eliminate the leaders. You have no housing. You have no employment. They're forced to break stores and ride on the streets. And then the King Alfred plan week comes the solution. Now, for the King Alfred plan, the United States is broken into a map of 10 areas. The capital region, which is Washington, 2 is the Northeast region, the Northern states, 3 is the Southwest region, the South Carolina, North Carolina, and Florida. 4th is the Great Lakes region. 5 is the South Central region, Ohio and Illinois in that area. 7 is the Deep South region. 8 is the Great Plains and Rocky Mountains. 9 is the Southwest region, New Mexico and down in the Southern California area. 10 is the West Coast region, the North area, and the San Francisco, Northern California area. The King Alfred plan says there will be no attempt made to seal off the Canadian-Mexican border. Evidently, the Canadian and Mexican government works with our CIA enough that when we go into the operation, we'll have their cooperation. We won't seal it because they won't be able to go north or south. The combined memo set out from the National Security Council says Department of Justice, FBI, and CIA, this is a combined memo for them. It said there are 12 major minority organizations that all are familiar to the 22 million. In other words, there are 12 groups in 1969 that were active, and all the blacks knew they were. Dossiers have been compiled on the leaders of these organizations, and they can be studied in Washington. The material contained many of the dossiers, and we have the names of those who are a threat, and we will reveal the material. The leaders who do not have such usable material in their dossiers have been approached to take government posts. It says the material contained in the dossiers of the leaders and our threat to reveal that material has held in check the activities of the leaders. That means that people like Martin Luther King can be blackmailed and put with women and taped and tape record of their sexual accomplishments or expertise or whatever it is they were doing. And I'm sure that this is one of the things that has blackmailed many of the black leaders, is fixing them up with women on their political jaunts. And this was part of the plan. It said they, in the dossiers, we will threaten to reveal material, and that threat, because of their activities, has held many of them in check. But those people, those leaders that don't have usable material to blackmail them sexually or otherwise in their dossiers, we've approached them to take government posts. This is such as Andy Young, I suppose, and his ilk, mostly as ambassadors and primarily in African countries. The promise of these positions also has materially contributed to a temporary slowdown of minority activity. I think of Stokely Carmichael and many of the black leaders, or Eldridge Cleaver, and so many of them have been neutralized. You could do a list of neutralized black leaders. But the plan was either to keep in the dossier material that silences or give them government posts to slow them down. We do not expect these slowdowns to be of a long duration, however, because there are always new and dissonant elements which appear to join the organization with the potential power to replace those leaders that have either been sent out in the field to be representing us or to be blackmailed. All organizations and their leaders have to be under constant 24-hour surveillance. You see people like Fred Hampton in Chicago, the Black Panthers, or many of these leaders that could not be blackmailed or sent as ambassadors are then murdered by the FBI just in cold blood. Now, the organizations listed in 1969 were 12 of them when the King Alfred plan was written. And when I read them to you, you can see that they're totally neutralized and taken over and non-effectual now, so the system is working. First was a black Muslim, and of course the energy went out of it when Malcolm X was killed. Second was the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, which is completely emasculated. The Congress of Racial Equality, CORE, which we never hear about. The Yoruba movement, which is neutralized totally. The Group on Advanced Leadership, which we'd never hear about. The Freedom Now Party. The United Black Nationalists of America. The New Pan-American Movement. The Southern Christian Leadership Conference. There we have Reverend Abernathy and Reverend Jackson just going around, never exposing who killed Martin Luther King, totally neutralized or blackmailed or zombies, you know, accepting the death of Martin Luther King's mother and his brother, you know, the drowning right after he was killed, all kept quiet by these people for some reason or other, and I'm sure it's a combination of blackmail and threat. the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and the Committee on Racial and Religious Progress. I went to a dinner party here for the NAACP, oh, it was about 6 months ago on the Monterey Peninsula, and the black people there are totally neutralized. The guest speaker that evening was the Judge Goodwin from Fresno, who lets people out if they believe in Christ. He lets their sentences down. He's on a Christ trip, and he's neutralized as a black leader. He's almost ridiculous. He now wants to run for governor under the Party of God. The whole NAACP thing is a joke. It's a place to have dinner and get together. And all 12 of these organizations have been totally neutralized and fingered. The King Alfred Plan says, note, at the appropriate time, to be designated by the President of the United States when the leaders of these organizations are to be detained. Put them in only when it is clear that they cannot prevent our emergency. Working with local public officials during the first critical hours. Use them at the appropriate time, the leaders of these organizations. They are to be detained only when it is clear that they can't prevent it. If they think that they could help or work along or soothe the people, such as the Jews in the concentration camps, leave them out, but bring them in when they begin to catch on. All the other leaders that you can't use to slow down the hysteria before the vaporization takes place are to be detained at once. In other words, if they won't go along with you, gas them. Otherwise, use the leaders to calm the people. Compiled lists of minority leaders have already been put into the National Data Computer Center. It is necessary to use their minority leaders that will be designated by the president in the same manner in which minority members who are agents with the central and federal agencies. And we cannot, until there is no alternative, reveal the King Alfred Plan in all its aspects. That's identical to the Holocaust. If you read the books on Germany or saw the four-part series at NBC, use them as much as you can. Use them like you use the blacks, FBI and CIA agents. Don't reveal all at once any more than those people did, the Jews who directed the other Jews into the concentration camps. Minority members of Congress will be unseated at once. Now, this came out in 1969, but remember that Richard Nixon's enemy list, and every single member of black member of the Congress was on that list and fingered for some reason, not that they were active or even real spokesmen against Richard Nixon, but they were fingered as the enemy list, and goodness knows what other list. Every single member of minority of Congress will be unseated at once. This move is not without precedent in American history. The preliminary memo for the Department of Defense, it said this memo is being submitted in lieu of a full report for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That report is in preparation. There will be many cities where the minority will be able to put up a street fight, a superior number of people, a desperate and dangerous will. He will be a formidable enemy in a few cities, for he is bound to be because of his heritage, and he knows that political asylum is not available anywhere else. The greatest concentration of minority will be the Deep South, the Eastern Seaboard, the Great Lakes, and the West Coast. So when they get anxious and get out on the streets, bring in the army, the armed forces to halt them. We'll be outnumbered for a while. It says when the national population exceeds that of the minority by more than 10 times, we have to realistically take into account one, 40-50% of the white population, for various reasons, will not engage to defend the black people when it comes. Two, the armed forces are spread around the world now. There will be a breakout here so that they need troops at home to handle the emergency. Three, the local law enforcement officials have to contain that emergency until help arrives, till the troops come home to have a superior force. The New York police, for example, has 25,000-man police force, and there's 1 million minority members in the city. So you have to handle 1 million minority with 25,000. Now, that gets back to, again, the Zodiac taunting you, the police can't get me, ha-ha, you need more police. Evel Younger and Ed Davis running for governor and increasing those police departments in California and New York City, increasing the police departments. They have to get enough police to handle the minority when they begin to round them up. The King Alfred Plan, which you can get, incidentally, in the library, in the book by John Williams. You can check it out from the library. It's called The Man Who Cried I Am, and on pages 375, 373, I'm reading from the King Alfred Plan in the book. But as I say, I do have a copy of the original that didn't come from the book, but you can get a copy in the book. And after John Williams wrote that book on Malcolm X and the King Alfred Plan, he became a non-entity. You never hear the name John Williams. He isn't on the talk shows. You don't see him kicking around and making a spectacle like Sammy Davis Jr. or Ben Vereen or some of these happy blacks who are making it in the system, or even Richard Pryor, who kicks ass in the system but is still very much a part of it. John Williams is never heard from, and probably because he exposed this plan. It goes on to say that local police will take over first for the minority and head off the emergency. There's a 10-point program before the vaporization begins. Countdown is this. One, the local police take over the emergency. Countdown to 8 hours. Give the local police 8 hours from the moment the president declares the national emergency and brings in the guards and the local police. The third step in the seventh hour is the local police and the county police join together. Not only the local, but the county comes in. The fourth step is that the state police and join the county and then the local forces, the armed forces that are available. The fifth step is the federal marshals join the state and the county and the local forces. The next step is the National Guards, who are federalized, are held in readiness to come in on these riots. And the next step is then that the regular armed forces are alerted to take up their position. The next step is that all minority leaders, national and local, are detained all over the country. The next step is that the president addresses all minority and black on radio and television, and he gives them 1 hour to end the emergency. This is a 10-hour countdown of how it's to proceed. And then 10, all units under regional commands go into Emergency O. And Emergency O is, according to the committee report, it shows that during this six-year period, as I read before, the production of the blacks created 9 million objects, 1,500,000 a year. That was back a few years ago. The production couldn't be disposed of, which is a bottleneck, and this has been going on for 20 years that they've been increasing in numbers. Therefore, we suggest, because of this emergency, the vaporization techniques be employed to overcome the production problem inherent in the King Alfred Plan by the Secretary of Defense. And John Williams wrote, yes, those leaders clearly left themselves vulnerable, for the hunters who for a generation or more sought communists with such a vehemence that they skillfully obscured the growth and the power of fascism. The black skins had stirred the fascists, and while these men were hunting the communists, the plan for the fascist takeover was happening. Do you believe the King Alfred Plan is real? Do you believe it's fiction? The reason I know it isn't fiction is that I was very close to somebody several years ago who went on to Europe, who is doing very sensitive work, literally fighting for his life because he happens to be black. And he believes that this King Alfred Plan has been in effect, is in effect now, and is doing, in his own way, something about it. There's a cartoon of Conrad in the paper this last week, a very good cartoon of a man sitting watching television, the Holocaust, and his little boy is looking at him and said to the older father, what did you do during the Holocaust? Well, what are we going to do about this now? I will give some suggestions next week, but I have never done on the air for a long time, if at all, the King Alfred Plan, reading it to you. That's what it is, the plans to vaporize the blacks, and if we don't educate them, employ them, and house them, it's bound to happen, and when they get in the streets, the government has the provisions to take over. Each week, I think we'll have a happier time on Dialogue Conspiracy, but it doesn't look that way. In any event, take care of yourselves. I'll see you next week, and I'll be back with you on Sunday night. This is Mae Bressel.
You've been listening to Dialogue Conspiracy with Mae Bressel.